Hi there, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York. Faithful, loyal listeners. Well, you know, loyalty, faithfulness, that's such an interesting question. We've focused our attention on fidelity a number of times. High fidelity, low fidelity, mid fidelity. The idea of fidelity. Trust. Faithfulness. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about politics. The National NBA just suspended Anthony Carmelo, and they passed out $1 million in fines, and they gave a 15-game suspension for flagrant fouls on the basketball court. Not that they call it flagrant fouls, violence. They punched each other. So I thought we were going to take the NBA and bring them over here to WBAI and call us the WNBAI and have them give flagrant foul violations to our government for their behaviors in different places, you know? Like, I'm going to give you a one-year suspension, right? I'm going to not let you play for 12 different days. Be an interesting thing. So here we are. We're reading our newspapers about how they punish violence between basketball players who grow up that way. But then we have this idea of being loyal to your government. And I have to tell you stories about this loyalty. Loyalty, such an interesting thing because it comes up at this time of year. 'Tis the season to be loyal, you know, as well as to be jolly. I mean, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, all these things come up, you know, all about family and family loyalty. Do you feel that loyalty? Do you have it? You're lucky if you do. But, you know, sometimes you feel bad if you don't, and we're going to talk about that today. We have to address that. I lived in a building, I live in a high-rise building, where as soon as the Iraq War came out, the head of the co-op board, of which I'm a tenant, put a flag across in the lobby, a giant, giant flag the size of a room. He put it in the front window and he said, I'm putting this up till the boys come home. And everybody was afraid to say, don't put it up. They were afraid to say, take it down. It's, you know, it's blocking everything. So for weeks on end and months on end and years on end, this flag kind of sat there. And since he was the head of the board, and the board was afraid to say, no, take it down, you would think they were afraid to say it, but they weren't. Some of them agreed with it. Well, eventually the flag came down. Just the other day the flag came down, and I'm walking, going down in an elevator, and I talked to some people, and I said, hey, isn't it nice to have the light in the lobby with the flag down? And they said, oh, but, you know, the flag stood for something. I said, yes, it did. But, you know, the flag was getting tattered and worn. And it was like saying America is a worn and tattered place. Because I quickly picked up that these people were going to try to do something about getting that flag back where it was hanging. And I said, you can't have tattered, worn flags hanging because it says that we don't feel good about our country. And they said, yeah, you're right. We shouldn't hang it then. So I had to tap into their loyalty. As so many times people have tapped into ours. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. What's with Bush's love of loyalty, George Bush? When announcing his choices for cabinet officers and type White House aides, the president always seems to use the word, almost always, he's a loyal or trustworthy person. Loyal, trustworthy. Someone I could trust. Someone who is loyal. And what are they loyal to? They're loyal to the powers that be. What he's saying, in effect, is, I am hiring this person, or I am keeping this person in the cabinet because they stand for me. And that's who I'm, that's why we're putting them in there. Not because they stand for the country, but they stand for me. Fidelity, loyalty, patriotism, faithfulness, fealty. You know, did you ever get the feeling inside you? What do you feel loyal to? What? What makes you feel loyal? Culturally, loyalty is a faithfulness to a cause, you know, or faithfulness to a business, or faithfulness to a person. Loyalty, faithfulness, meaning I am committed to you, I will not betray you. I'm devoted to you. Well, then loyalties change. Huh? They change, you know. Imagine first your loyalties. Here's a little test I'm going to give you. If you have a pencil handy, write this down. Let's see you do this. Everybody, people in the studio, please do this also. All right. Loyalty to self. Write down self. Write down family. Mate, M-A-T-E. God. Government. Children. Siblings. By family, I mean siblings, you know, is family. I take it. So I'm going to make it God, self, government, children, siblings, mate. Those are the ones. So do you have any loyalty to any of those? Who's your first loyalty to? You know? Who's your first loyalty to? Who do you feel the most loyal to of all these people? You know, in some religions, they say your first loyalty is to God. Your second loyalty is to your parents, right? So we got to add parents there. Do you have parents? Your third one is to your family. I guess that's part of your family, right? Does it mean your parents? What about your mate? Where does your mate come in? So let's say that you're a 15-year-old girl or boy. And you're loyal to your family, and you're loyal to your church, and you're loyal to your school. And then this 15-year-old girl comes along, and you fall in love with her, and now all you do care about is her. And everything is about her, and do all your other loyalties go out the window? You make believe you're going to church, and you go out to see her. And you're bonded, and you're bonded by some chemicals, some things are going on. And is that what makes loyalty work? Is it chemistry? That's a good question. Well, you know, chemistry leads a lot to a lot of loyalty. Just think about having children. You have a child, usually there's a bond between a parent and a child, and the bond between the parent and the child is automatic loyalty. You know, I care about this baby, I will protect this baby completely, I am devoted to them. Are you devoted to your babies? Are you devoted to your children? Well, what comes before them? Does your mate come before your children? Now, this is a very important question. Because in most relationships, you know, the idea was we get together to have a relationship. We get married. Because it's you and me. We have a sworn loyalty. Nothing is going to get in our way. And then we have children. And the children can't get in the way. The first loyalty has to be with each other. That's kind of the idea. Or does that change when you have children? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're looking into this, and you're going to find it very interesting, fascinating. You know, one would imagine that if you were to go into all of literature, you would find people waxing about loyalty. You know, you would imagine that most of the great, wisest people would talk about loyalty, like Matthew in the Bible. He talks about loyalty to God, and he says, no man can serve two masters, therefore, you know, there's only one loyalty, and that's God, and that comes before everything. That's you, Matthew 6:24. But then, you know, Plato said, only a man who is just in his heart can be loyal. That loyalty is an act of the heart, not an act of the mind. It's not something you think. It's something you are. Isn't that an interesting question? We could think that about fidelity, you know. Is fidelity what you write on a piece of paper when you think about infidelity and fidelity in relationships? What is sworn fidelity? I will have sex with no one but you is the statement of fidelity that most people make with each other. That's monogamy. But is it the statement that makes you do it, or is it that you don't want to? You just want to be, no matter how many people invite you to a cirque or wherever they want to take you. You know, it just doesn't matter. It's like, oh, no, I want to be with one man. I want to be with one woman. I want to be with one person. That one person, not because other people aren't cute and appealing, but my biology, my soul, my heart, all parts of me seem to belong in that one place. Now, that's a felt sense of loyalty. So in relationships, fidelity is not a commitment on a piece of paper. You know, when you say monogamy, you don't mean, oh, I swear, and that's where it's really the one that you feel. You see, you feel monogamous. So if you're going outside of the relationship, you no longer feel monogamous. If you're fantasizing outside the relationship, I guess there should be things like pornographic non-monogamous. If you're looking outside, or if you're a woman who has a trainer who makes love to her, or, you know, who massages, your masseur makes you feel divine, and you have sexual fantasies about him, are you being monogamous? You know, does it mean that women can't have sexual fantasies anymore because they are sworn monogamous? Does that mean there's no fidelity? And they say, oh, yes, but there's no fidelity as long as I don't let that person inside my body. Right? There's no infidelity, right? I am going to be monogamous. It's very confusing, as you could tell. It's a thing of the spirit. It's a thing of the heart. Lao Tzu, you know who that was, the great warrior, Lao Tzu. He's a man who studied, if you don't know Lao Tzu, this is a definite thing for Carl. You know, definite. Carl's a young man who listens to our program every now and then. Lao Tzu studied all forms of war. And he was from the, you know, something like 2nd century or something like that, China. He said, oaths of loyalty, O-A-T-H-S, not O-A-F-S, oaths of loyalty appear when people lose their sense of how to live. So what he said, when you're studying populations that you may conquer, when you see the ones who take oaths of loyalty, like I pledge allegiance to the flag, you know, that's kind of an oath, that happens to people who forget how to feel it. They forget how to feel. They've forgotten the feeling of the loyalty, so now they take pledges. I think a lot of as I remember my own Catholic upbringing, I remember there were a lot of pledges, you know, things that you would, you know, confirmation, catechism, or all these other things that you would have as you went along, communion and other things that went on. These are all kinds of points of transition, and in each one you would make a pledge, you know, and a lot of them you don't understand a word you're saying. You're either saying it in Hebrew or you're saying it in Latin, you know, and you don't understand a word of your commitment, but they're making these pledges. Because you don't feel it in your heart. Because you can't feel it in your heart. So people who are making pledges and oaths verbally are usually people who are doing it because they can't feel it. You know, there's a group of islands called the Loyalty Islands. It's a little atoll somewhere in the Pacific. Lifu, Maru, and Uvu. Three little islands that some people go to try to find themselves, the loyalty items. May 1st of every year, George Bush has made, get ready for this, you may not know it, it's called Loyalty Day. It's become a holiday, May 1st. What used to be May Day, remember, which was the Russian May Day, and May Day, Communist Day, we've turned it into Loyalty Day. And so Loyalty Day is a day, I don't know if it's going to be in, if we're going to get off from work. I never get off from work anyway. There's a rule in business, you know. Part of business, what you want to do if you're in business, a number of things. If you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, if you have people who work for you, the what you want is loyalty. You want people to be loyal to you. So you want to treat them, either pay them so much money that they're going to be loyal to you, right? You pay them so much that they can never leave you. That's one way of doing it. And you see that happening in a lot of businesses. People get paid so much they just don't leave. But another way of doing it is being fair with people, being nice to people, being kind to people, standing by people. Now, when you stand by people, there's a very interesting thing about business, about working in business. When a person, if you stand by, if you give somebody a raise in money, you know, when they're having a good time and you give them an increase, that's one thing. That doesn't necessarily lead to loyalty. But when they have a tough time, when they have a bout of alcoholism, when they have a bout of illness, when they have a bout of, you know, where they get really fall into something bad, if you stand by them then, if you stick with somebody who falters, then they will be loyal to you forever. And it's a great rule in life. That those people who need you the most are the people who wind up being the most committed to you. If you stand by them when the times are rough, not when the times are easy. You know, those of us who have really light relationships with people, we're always avoiding responsibility and avoiding any kind of intimacy. As soon as the times get bad, we run for the hills. Well, in that case, you don't have that, you know. But the people who stick together, and this happens a lot with families, people who stick together through thick and through thin, right? When you stick through it, all that stuff, there's where loyalty is born. It's born, it's a felt feeling. I know I could depend on you. I know I could depend on you. It's been proven. That's why you want a best friend. That's why you want to have a best friend. That's why so often people who lose their relationships with their mates, you know, if you have a mate, you have a husband or a wife, and you lie to them because you have to lie to them, because if you don't lie to them, they overreact and they make your life miserable, which many people do. So people have sex with people, and the other one, did you like it? Sure, I loved it. You know, lie. Or other people have, you know, they bring home gifts. Did you like my gift? Oh, I loved your gift. You know, lie. How are you feeling? Fine. Lie. And you go out drinking at night with your buddies and you complain about your wife. You know, it's all about lies. But you lie because you don't want to put up with the trouble. See, which I understand. I understand. But so you can't trust your mate. Because you're lying to them all the time and they're lying to you all the time. So that's why you want a best friend. Now, if you're lucky, your mate and your best friend become one. You know? That's really lucky. You may even lie to your best friend, but not big lies. But having a best friend, the idea of a best friend is loyalty. Loyalty. Yep, I got somebody I could trust on this planet. I got somebody I could go to. I got a person I could go to, and just imagine you having the worst possible thing that you wouldn't want to share with anybody because it's too embarrassing. Who would you go to? Who would you go to? No, even worse than that. Here's one that happened once. This is a cute thing. A man tells me a story about having taken one of these full body scans. And he took a full body scan and he found out when he took the full body scan down in Florida, they did a full scan of his body. You know, these x-rays of your body? And they x-rayed the entire body. And what they found, it wasn't an x-ray, it was some kind of imaging. And they found a spot in his lungs. Lung. And he knew, they told him, well, it's bad news. You got a spot on your lung and it's a serious spot. And so he was down there and they said, but you got to wait because the head doctor is going to be coming down in 2 days. And in 2 days, he will really interpret this. But from first look at it, we got to tell you, start getting your things in order. You got a spot on your lungs. That man happened to have been at the Hippocrates Health Institute at the moment down in Florida. He was resting. He was, you know, and he was down there, and he said, who can I tell? I can't call my wife. She'll be too upset, he said. If I tell her I've got cancer and I may be dying, who I can't call the people I work with. They'll sell the business right under me. I don't know who to call. I don't know who to be with. See, that was a choice. Now, the good news is, 2 days later, the authority flew in, the people they were waiting for, and they found out they had dirt on the camera lens, and there was nothing wrong with the guy. And he had just 2 days of reckoning his life, getting his life in order, you know, making peace with the way he was living, which it worked perfectly fine for him because he found out he had nobody to trust. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI. An exciting bunch of programming trying to teach you about the human mind and how it works. And we're questioning one of the things here today. We're questioning loyalty. What is loyalty based on, you know? How about, what kind of things would make you loyal? If your sister called you and said to you, I am sick. I am very, very sick. I need you to come over. Would you go over? Right? Now, if the same sister called you and said, I need $5,000, just like the $5,000 I got from you a couple of weeks ago, would you give it to her if you only had $5,000 saved? Money. No, I won't give you money. Oh, I've got to get the money because I have to pay the mortgage. Right, says your sister, who says to you, I've got to pay the mortgage. I couldn't pay the mortgage because I gambled away the money. No, this time I'm not going to give you the money. I am not going to feed your addiction. She says, I fully understand. I fully understand. Well, then, can me and the kids come and live with you? You know, and there you are. You're in that spot. You care about your sister. You don't want to feed the illness. You don't know what to do. Loyalty. What kinds of things will make your loyalty appear? Is it illness? Loyalty is a felt experience. It's not a commitment of the mind. You think it's a should? You think people should be loyal to their families? Let me give you something here just as a little break in our mood. Here's something I fell across as I fall across so many things I thought you might enjoy. It's a little recorded piece.
You know, while your mother's cooking the macaroni today, I figure I'd sit down and talk to you since you're old enough. You know, it's time that you really realize what this family's all about. Because about this time is when you're going to be able to join in and earn some real money and real cash. But before you do that, I want to teach you a little bit about loyalty. The main name of this game is respect and loyalty. Family is a big thing. When we do this kind of business, everything is with respect. And when a family member gets out of line, and another family don't like it, one thing leads into another, and the next thing you know, you're gone. And then you're just a memory of me. My heart's broke then. But you gotta remember, there's always family and loyalty. Loyalty is the main thing. Obviously, you know I don't make my money. I don't make all my cash from going to work every day. These construction jobs we do and sanitation and private stuff is all from earning money to the family. Since you're of age now, I think it's time that I taught you what coming into the family and respect is all about. So the first thing you got to learn is the name respect. That means you don't cross nobody, you don't go over the line. Once you go over that line, there's no coming back. Whether you're a member of a family or not, that's when people get whacked. And we don't want nobody whacked in our family. So I'm going to teach you the proper way of respect. When you're earning money, everybody earns. Everybody eats bread.
Armand DeMille here, The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. Would you believe I found that? Isn't that wonderful? Sure. Sure, that's a family loyalty. I've got one quarter Sicilian blood in my bones. And loyalty and family loyalty and fidelity, don't step over it. Do you live by codes? Do you live by ethics? Is that the way it is, you know? So we want to take some of your calls related to this because, you know, how many times in your life have you been hurt by a betrayal? There are some people whose psychological makeup is such that they constantly feel betrayed by other people. This is especially true of what's called a borderline personality. It's a person who goes around very angry, very often, and they are angry, and they go around, they justify their anger, and they talk about being betrayed. Betrayal, 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 betrayal. And they're always, you know, they're everybody's victim. And they talk about how good they are and how sweet they are and how innocent they are, betrayed by this person, by that person, and you could just hear it over and over again. When you're a shrink and you listen to these stories and you listen to these people walk in with this, you feel a kind of pathos for them because you understand that in their mind they feel betrayed. Just like my grandmother used to feel betrayed when one of her 22 siblings or offspring, you know, there were 22 people who used to show up every Sunday, didn't show up because they had a date. And she would be crying. She felt betrayed. I mean, Grandma, wearing all black, would be wailing away. Whoa, Carmine, ooh, you know. He doesn't love me anymore. He hates the family, so on and so forth. So that everybody would eventually get on the phone and call Carmine to try to get him back into the fold. But she felt it, you know, she felt betrayed. So it is not, we can't say that it's an illness, you know, that it's that betrayal is, feeling betrayed is wrong. It's the way you are. I don't feel betrayed very often because I figure, you know, I earn people's trust. And if I didn't earn their trust and they do something that proves to me that they didn't trust me, then it probably means I did something that in some way made them not feel that they should trust me or that they are trustworthy. And I didn't know it and I wasn't aware of it. Or I ignored them or I just ignored the way what they needed at any given time. I do that. Sometimes I don't see it. Sometimes if a person doesn't make their needs be known, and Armand DeMille, you know, the great psycho detective, will miss it. I won't see it. And then they'll be hurt because I didn't see it, and they'll feel betrayed by me, and I understand. I understand, but I try not to do it, you know. So we're going to take a short break, and after our break, our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're going to continue our discussion about loyalty, right? We want to hear from you about the whole concept. We want to hear from you and what you have to offer in that regard related to your own family, your own friends, your own mate, you know? What's it done for you in your life? Or is it something in your life that you consider to be one of the great, wonderful things that you feel there are people in your life? Do you know? The human mind. What a fascinating thing, and it's not as confusing as you think. Tune into The Positive Mind Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. and learn about why we do the things we do. This is Armand DeMille, The Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. I don't know. Corsicow. That's his name, Corsicow, and Austin. From an album called Open Up Your Heart. I sure hope Michael is bopping around the studio down there at WBAI. Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's not. All right, enough. All right, enough. Mental health practitioners. Dancing. Something wrong with that. It's supposed to be serious. Fidelity, loyalty, patriotism, faithfulness, fealty. Fealty's always been a funny word, isn't it? F-E-A-L-T-Y. Fealty. What are you faithful to? What do you care about? What do you love? You love good music. You're faithful to your music. Did you ever see this happen to a person? I've seen this happen. They love a TV program, and they are dedicated to a TV program. Dedicated. And I talk, you know, they talk about faithful listeners, faithful audience, and loyalty, audience loyalty. I know you could say, well, that's not real loyalty, but If you've got real loyalty to a program, a TV program, you can't wait, and it comes on once a week, and you haven't had TiVo or something like that to catch it, so you wait to see your program, and you're dying to see it. Then all of a sudden, you stop watching it completely. The loyalty disappeared. What makes loyalty disappear is usually called a narcissistic wound. Whenever I, as a practitioner, am confronted with somebody who said, I don't understand it. I was feeling so positively committed to this job, and now I don't feel like working there anymore. I was feeling so committed to this relationship, now I'm completely dead to the person. When it happens suddenly, it's called a narcissistic wound, and here's how a narcissistic wound works. A narcissistic wound means that when you fall in love with something, or when you love something like a program, you identify with it, you create a world in which you are part of this world. And then they do something that proves to you that it's not true, that you're no part of them. So they may do a thing, for example, I remember one person, she was very thin, and she was very nervous about her thinness. And she was wanting, I think, Ally McBeal or something. And Ally McBeal was a very thin young woman. But at one point, they started mocking skinny people. And they started making fun of them. And she completely dropped the program from then on. So what happened was she had a wound to her narcissism. Her image of herself got wounded, and she separated. And that's how most loyalties happen, break. Most people have a break in loyalty through a narcissistic wound. And I'm going to prove that to you by some of the callers today. That's what we're going to be looking for. Okay, let's start off with the first caller, who I imagine is going to ask me probably about, I'm sure somebody's going to call and be asking me about where I got that music from, the first one. Let's take the first caller. Who is this?
This is Keith in Manhattan.
Oh, hi there. Hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm quite faithful and loyal to your show, Armand.
Hi there. Michael G. told me what you were going to ask before you asked.
Well, you listen, I'll tell you something. You have a faithful listenership. I mean, beyond the wisdom that you leave us all with, your music is hot.
It is good stuff, isn't it?
I'll tell you, you could definitely be a great promoter. You know, you got me one night out the week. If you ever did a lounge set at a club, you know?
Well, Bernard was talking about that. Bernard, who's the station manager, said you could always tell a man by his music. And he said, you know, the guy who's got the second best music around this neighborhood, he said he thinks is me. He said, because I agree with him. You know, he does terrific stuff, too.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, okay. So that piece, by the way, which I just discovered, was by a group called a pair of people, Birdman, B-I-R-D-M-A-N, and Lil Wayne, L-I-L-W-A-Y-N-E.
Did you say Birdman and Lil Wayne?
Yeah.
Oh, I know those dudes. I know of those dudes.
That's right. They did Loyalty, and this one on an album called Like Father, Like Son.
That's hip-hop stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you are truly a hip dude.
Well, what can I tell you?
I mean, nobody would expect it to catch that segged in with, you know, everything else that we listen to on your show, but you managed to make it work, I'll tell you. Hey, listen, that subject Loyalty that you're talking about.
Yeah, Keith.
I've got to be honest with you. You know, it's in my life. I understand it, especially through my wife, who I've been married to for 9 years, because she holds Loyalty in very high esteem. And I'm like you. I'm like, I don't think about it much, but I consider myself loyal.
And where would you say your loyalty is? I mean, now you have family, too. You got some kids also.
Well, I'm loyal. I'm like it. It was, I can't remember where it was stated, but somewhere it says I love them that love me, you know. And you know, loyalty to me insinuates respect. You know, when you go to a store and you treat it well and everything is right, you tend to want to go back because they treated you with respect. So that is a building block of loyalty. Same thing with people. When people treat you nicely or with respect, and you know, you can reciprocate, and they know, you know how to accept your reciprocation, then loyalty can build, you know, and I've seen loyalties break. You know, like, I don't have very many close friends other than my wife, actually.
Well, you actually, as a kid, you must have grown up very much alone, too.
I'm an only child.
Yeah, see, so that's what happens to only kids. See, you're out there in the streets. You're not only an only child, you're also an orphan.
An orphan?
That's right, because your parents...
A step further than I know. Maybe in another lifetime.
Okay, no. Tell me about your parents. Tell me about your dad. Where was he?
Well, right now I'm an orphan, as a matter of fact. My mother and father are both gone, but I was raised
with
both of them.
That's what I mean. Your parents are gone.
I beg your pardon?
Your parents are gone. You're an orphan now.
Now I am, but I had them both until I was about 18.
And how much did you have them? I mean, how close were you to your father?
Not very. My mother and I left that house when
all right, so you didn't have a father. And then you and your mom, how busy was your mom when you were a kid?
My mom passed when I was about 18, actually, about 3 or 4 years after we left the house.
And before then, how busy was she trying to keep things together?
Armand, hold on for absolutely 1.5 seconds. Hold on.
Sure. 1.5 seconds.
Armand, what did you say?
How busy was your mom during all that time?
She was extremely busy. She would check this out. She was in school before the breakup. She was in school and she was working. And shortly
after, that's what I mean. You see, the point I'm making, Keith, is you were always an orphan. You didn't really have parents. You know, you didn't have parents like people have parents. You had to be out. You had to learn what life was all on your own. And if you take any human in the world and you throw them out into the world and you say, "Make it on your own," they are going to have a hard time forming bonds with people. And they've got loyalty until the loyalty is tested. The loyalty is just as far as it goes, you know. If somebody could be good to you, you're going to be good to them. But you're always having an exit strategy, you know.
You're right about that. I'll tell you something. You're really touching on some interesting points. I never looked at it like that, but you're hitting it right on.
Keith, I want to thank you for being with us, and thank you for enjoying the music. And if you like music and you ever think anything you want to share with this audience, be sure to send it to me. You know, you could always attach it as an email.
And
send me an email with music on it, and we'll play it and share it with people.
I'll send you some stuff if I can think of anything that would blend in with your mix.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye, Keith. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Yeah, I love the musical part. I mean, you know, I mean, what does it have to do with psychology? What does it have to do with all this? I don't know. It has something to do with the spirit of psychology. I used to teach a class at Hunter College, and I used to bring music along when I taught the class, just for no reason. It just seemed essential, you know? Seemed essential to have something there along with the learning, something that kept the spirit going. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hi, this is Kathleen from Califon, New Jersey.
Hi there, from Califon.
Yes.
Tiny
little town, but I very much enjoy
it. I know your little town and its only post office.
You do?
That's right. It has a little post office, right?
Oh, I'm impressed.
Yeah. And you have a place that sells orchids. Nearby, right near it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a very nice little community.
Yeah,
and,
it's real rural. It's real, real nice.
I grew up in a rural area, though, so it fits me. But when you mentioned loyalty, I think loyalty is also part of dedication. I think it has a lot to do with a mutual understanding with each other, and also basically you're getting something. There's a feeding to your soul, to your spirit, to your sensibility, to your ego. And as long as you're receiving something from that relationship, you're loyal to it. And a lot of times what happens is, like you said, with the wound, the narcissistic wound, is when you're no longer getting that feeding, that you start to question, well, is this a good relationship? Is this a good reciprocal relationship? And there are some, you know, people that are, you know, good at reciprocating. And then there are other people, like you said, the victim role, that play the victim role, that basically the only way that they feel like they can feed their power, their ego, their energy, is by taking from others.
Have you had that happen to you? I hear I know everybody did, but you have a very precious heart. You don't let all that many people in. You're a private kind of person. So who betrayed you?
Let's see.
Was it a family member?
Well, a little bit, but that's healed, and we're actually very close now. But I would have to say that the wound that went the deepest was my first love. But I feel like it was my own fault, because I was kind of letting him go, and he said that he would always love me, and I was trying to figure out where my head was at. And then I finally came back, and it was too late at that point.
He had built a wall taller than tall.
It's not there anymore, though. It's down. But I've learned a lot from, you know, you learn from your wounds. And you learn how to change your behavior based on, you know, what you're experiencing in life.
And who do you have in your life now? Who's close to you now?
Well, I'm very close to my family. Both my immediate family and my extended family. And, you know, my husband's wonderful. I have the most incredible husband.
You have an incredible husband. What is the one thing that guy that you let go had that nobody else have had?
Unconditional love.
He had unconditional love for you?
Mm-hmm.
He had unconditional regard for you.
That's how it felt.
That means no matter what you said, no matter what you did, Kathleen, he embraced you. And
yeah.
He looked at you and he said, I adore you. You know, I love the way you are.
Yes.
Just the way you are. You know?
Yes.
And you don't get that very often.
No.
Because when you get with a husband, you know, your husband gets a little testy at times, and there are parts about you that annoy him. Even though you love him in whole and in part.
You get through that, though.
Yeah, you do get through
years
that.
Now.
You know, it would be interesting, though. How long have you been married?
10 years.
It would be interesting for you to tell your husband one day about the one little missing piece about, in fact, it would be interesting for you to get a copy of today's program or even just listen to it on the internet and say, you know, I called in this wacky guy on WBAI who was talking about loyalty, and I was telling him how much I love you, my husband. What's your husband's first name?
Ed.
Ed, I was telling him how much I love you. And he said to me, you know, It would be wonderful if you told Ed that the one thing you need from him a little more that would put away all thoughts forever of your regrets of what you let go is if he could give you this unconditional love. And if
he would just...
No, he doesn't.
You don't think so?
I know he doesn't.
Why do you think that?
Because otherwise you wouldn't be grieving the first guy.
Oh, I'm not grieving it. It's a memory.
Yeah, I know, I know. But it,
there's a difference between a memory and, you know, still
I think that Ed could do a little better.
Oh, I don't know. That's a tall order.
Ask him. Just tell him you disagree with me. Say, I disagree with that guy, Armand DeMille, but listen to this anyway.
Okay.
And see what he has to say. You'd be surprised. There's always another step. You know, every couple in the world has an opportunity to find a place, especially in California. You know, California is known for its way of, you know, it sounds like California and it sounds like telephone.
Uh-huh.
It's a mixture of the two words. And
there's
it means...
There's a story behind that.
What?
There's a story behind that.
Yeah, and what is the story behind it?
The story was that the sign painter was actually supposed to paint California...
Right.
But he first left out the R, and he realized he wrote the letters too big, and he just left it as California, and that was that.
That's right. Otherwise, your town would have been called California, which would have made a lot of sense.
But
I know it is. But the real essence of it is a place where people grow by geometric increments. You see, here's a place where if you're in love, you love to a certain standard, and you either die and love the same amount all the time, or you up the ante a little bit. You raise the stakes, and you say, hey, honey, let's go for a little deeper love. Let's have a little more passion. Let's try something a little different. You see, let's do it just a little different.
Well, that's what we went through last year. And
yeah,
then
good, great. And you go through it again. I thank you for calling in, Kathleen. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your program.
It is a pleasure. Thank you.
Same here. Thank you. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille, Starting Trouble. At the end of the year, what better time to do it, huh? Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. It's Jim from Long Island. How are you?
Hello, Jim from Long Island. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Listen, it's a great topic, loyalty. I'm back in the dating scene now and met someone that I have nice feelings for, and I thought it was time for me to tell her that and to share my feelings with her. And when I did that, I also told her I don't expect her to say anything, for her to feel the same way, and no expectations from her. So I think it was that I was letting go of the need for loyalty back from her. And it was nice to just kind of share my feelings and not have any expectation from her in return. Because I think in the past, I used to be someone who was, I guess in my job, was overboard or was too loyal to a bad extent. Probably looking for approval and, you know, those type of things.
Yeah, and you find by doing this, you put a little less pressure on the relationship and on yourself.
Yeah.
And it'll be more successful. It's really terrific. You're a wonderful man. I know you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's somewhere in this world of people who would appreciate meeting a handsome, young, beautiful man. You're a gift on this planet. I think I remember running into you once all the way out in Long Island.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what a nice-looking specimen of a human with such intelligence, such a good heart, such a deep soul, you know? And I said, I know so many women who say, oh, if only I could meet a guy like Jim. You know?
Well, thank you.
You know?
So it's a nice thing, I think, to let go of the need for the reciprocation. Just to put it out there, if something happens that's good, fantastic.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim, nice to speak
with you.
Thank you
for the program.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Oh, Armand DeMille, thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh,
you believe in instant loyalty?
No.
Okay, this is a good thing, because I'm trying to figure out what's going on with my head here.
Have you ever heard of Timothy's Law, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's totally neat.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is that, you know, I'm supposed to be someplace, and I'm listening to you, and I'm listening to something else, and it dawns on me that I just heard about this thing yesterday, and I've been in treatment for a good long time. As a matter of fact, I did some time with a friend of yours, Andrew Tatarsky.
Sure, Andrew. Sure.
I love Andrew. Andrew's so nice. And it came to me that, I hadn't heard anything, and that the bills have been passed, and the thing is sitting on Pataki's desk. And I've been attempting to be more loyal to my therapist. And I sort of get this guilt thing around, you know, the customary and the payment, what's customary as compared to what the insurance companies give.
Yeah.
Bottom line is like I'm all torn up. And I just think that people should let me back that up. I think it would be really nice to have people be able to get more treatment, whatever that treatment might be, especially if it's very effective. And I think this is one of the stepping stones that needs to be put in place in order to have that done.
Well, now you're talking about something very interesting, because what you're talking about is reversing this entire thing, you know, which is reversing the thing where we begin owning or owning back to the people, giving back to the people, you know, some of the stuff that we owe them. You know, right now everybody's been kind of aiming it in one direction. But this Timothy Law, which was named after Timothy O'Quare, wasn't it?
Yes.
He committed suicide in 2001.
Right.
You know, and this law, what's the purpose of the law? What is the law supposed to
do? It's to enable people who have insurance to equalize the treatment of mental illness with physical illness. So,
right.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. So, and that is just one of the things. And I think it's beginning to happen. I think we're beginning to turn the corner. That loyalty is working so that it's working back in the other direction, you know? I always like, you know, say not what you could do for your country. Say something about what your country could do for you. It's about time.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's beginning to happen. So listen, we've got to go. I would love to carry on this conversation forever. Maybe I'll do a program on Timothy's Law.
Well, it's just that you only have until Christmas. Could I give the governor's number to have him call?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, the governor's number is 518-474-1041.
And they can look up Timothy's Law on the internet.
Right, it's www.timothyslaw.org, and you go to the Action Alert page. It gives you all the information. Thank you so much, Armand, once again.
My pleasure.
You're the man.
Okay, back with you tomorrow at 1 o'clock, my friends. If you want to hear today's program, you could go to WBAI.org. If for any reason that falters, you can go to thepositivemind.com, and we have ours up just as quickly. Mm-hmm.